What's next for Libya and its economy now that Muammar Gaddafi is dead?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson, in for Steve Chiatakis. The Libyan rebel authorities say Muammar Gaddafi was killed today near the town of Sirte. The news has big implications for Libya, for the region, and for the world. The UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon says Gaddafi's death marks a historic transition for Libya. For more on what that means economically, we're joined now by Jane Kinnamont, an expert on Libya from Chatham House in London. Good morning.
Hello, good morning.
So what does Gaddafi's death, as it's being reported, mean for the Libyan economy?
Well, the Libyan economy has pretty bright prospects, mainly because of the country's oil wealth. It has a very small population, a lot of oil, and a lot of foreign assets. The key question is whether they're going to be able to re-establish security there, and hopefully this will be a step towards that, although it's probably not entirely the end of the conflict.
Libya has for so long been identified as the country of Muammar Gaddafi. What do you know as an expert on Libya about the Libyan economy underneath Gaddafi? What do we have left without Gaddafi?
Well, the economy has been massively state-dominated for many years, so there's really very little private sector activity there, and it's been particularly hard for small and medium enterprises to get started. There have been some opening up in recent years towards foreign investment, and there are actually quite a lot of laws in place that were issued last year on investment, on the stock market, on privatization. But right now, roughly 70% of the Libyan workforce is employed by the state. And the experience of other Arab countries suggests that it's going to take a long time to change that.
Jane Kinnamont, Senior Research Fellow at Chatham House, joining us from London. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Well, in Washington today, the Senate is introducing a new plan to help the housing market. It involves opening the door for legal immigrants if they want to buy really expensive houses here in the U.S. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
The Canadians are coming, and the Chinese. What they're coming for is to invest in depressed American real estate. Sales of U.S. residential properties to foreign buyers are up 25% in the past year. To encourage more of the same, the Senate bill would offer a new home buyer visa. To get in, a foreign buyer would have to spend at least $500,000 cash on an American home. The goal is to boost demand in the U.S. housing market. Andy Shia, an economist in Shanghai, says it'll definitely attract more wealthy Chinese.
They want to have a foreign home at a reasonable cost, and the Chinese property prices are much higher than in the U.S.
Shia says they don't want to work here. It's probably for their kids.
If you have a property in the U.S., your children can go to school there. It is a big deal.
U.S. housing experts say the new visa won't hurt, but point out that foreign sales are still only a drop in the bucket in the overall U.S. real estate market. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are down right now on Wall Street. The Dow down 57 points, about a half percent at 11,447. The NASDAQ down more than a percent right now. And the S&P 500 down about 0.6%. European markets closed lower today as a big story unfolds in Athens. Greek lawmakers are taking final votes on a package of budget cuts that need to pass in order for Greece to get more bailout money. And we got earnings this morning from Southwest Airlines, which is reporting a loss in part because it bought fuel in advance when oil prices were high.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. By Reputation.com, helping small business owners, professionals, and executives monitor, protect, and improve their online reputations. Reputation.com. And by Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kellei.iu.edu.
About 20,000 water experts are wrapping up a major conference here in Southern California today. They've been talking about the water we flush away and how to reuse more of it. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Eve Tro reports.
If I say designer water, you likely picture an expensive glass bottle at a fancy restaurant, not sewer water. But Shivaji Deshmukh says his sewage treatment plant just south of Los Angeles makes designer water, too.
We're designing the water to fit the needs for our customers.
Those customers range from golf courses to a Chevron refinery that uses the water for cooling towers.
We can do it cheaper than their alternative supply.
And thus, industrial customers help fund the plant. It makes 47 million gallons of water a day by squeezing out waste solids, those can become fertilizer, then chemically treating and filtering the water that's left. Eco-friendly, yes, but the process? Not so pretty.
There's kind of a reddish film on top of this, but when we get to the end of this plant, we're going to have water that we can drink.
That's Matt Reese. He's with the Water Environment Federation. He says wastewater recycling needs better PR to overcome the gross-out factor, because it's really just a technological take on the natural water cycle.
We've been doing it forever. The same water here in these tanks is the same water the dinosaurs swam in. We have a finite amount of water on this planet, and it keeps getting recycled and recycled and recycled.
He says we need to recycle more water and faster as global population grows, and charge more for it to fund new infrastructure. Engineers and managers from around the world take notes as they tour the plant.
What's your name and where are you from?
Rodolfo, I'm from Brazil.
At the end, they raise plastic cups.
Cheers, that's the money card.
And taste sewage made drinkable.
Yeah, it tastes good.
Everyone else agrees, but no plans to bottle it just yet. I'm Eve Tro for Marketplace.
And finally, to some holiday gift ideas for the top 1%ers out there, courtesy of the Neiman Marcus Christmas Catalog. For $75,000, you can buy an 18-foot yurt. That's a tent used by nomads, and this one has down pillows and a crystal chandelier. For $425,000, you can buy a flower show tour that'll take you to Switzerland, France, and the UK by private jet, of course. And there is a $5,000 Johnny Walker Scotch tasting, which I guess in this catalog counts as a stocking stuffer. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
In a film about the financial crisis, you might expect a good guy, that'd be us, and a bad guy, the banks. But you think a little harder, the truth is a little more nuanced.
There actually is no pure evil. Each character is simply trying to act on the information that they have before them.
I'm Kai Rizdal, a Wall Street thriller, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.